Welcome to Technology Espresso Cafe Radio. After 7 years, over 700 episodes, and over 70,000 listeners, we continue to stay nimble and agile. We want to engage our young people, parents, and educators to introduce STEM early by leveraging our curriculum based on Smart Sarah, Perceptive PJ, and their friends and family that promote diversity and inclusion. We also want to connect with our college and young professionals pursuing careers, especially in the field we know best, technology and IT. We also weave in tips related to the agile mindset and being agile to continue to promote a way of life that helps us learn to stay flexible, relevant, and ahead of the game in technology. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your technology and educational experience. And remember to listen, learn, leverage, and launch your dreams and reach your full potential.
Hello, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman, and this is a continuation of our series, Entrepreneurship A to Z. And the letter D topic is differentiator. That's a mouthful. Differentiator. And basically, it boils down to what makes you different from your competition. One of the things, because our previous topics, we've talked about data, doing your research, understanding your customer, the market. And once you understand them, then you've got to be clear on your identity. A lot of new businesses have identity crisis because it's not clear from the beginning exactly what and why they're needed in the market at this time. As a small business, if you have a business idea or product idea, first thing to do is go and Google it. And if it returns thousands, and I'm saying that plural, thousands of existing examples of your idea, the first thing I would say to you is not to abandon your idea because others have already done it. Instead, what I actually would say is, okay, look at who's done it, how they've done it, and then ask yourself, how can you do it differently? How can you do it in a way that's more in line with where the world and where the market is today? And more importantly, where the market or industry is going or even needs to be nudged in a new direction. Some of innovation is giving the customer something that they didn't even know that they needed. Imagine banking, for example. For years, everyone was comfortable with you wrote checks, you went in the bank, you cashed the checks. There was always this physical paper exchange. When you went to stores, you wrote checks, you had a checking account. So much was manual and face to face. And then someone thought, well, what if you didn't have to do it face-to-face? And what if we did it and eliminated the paper component of it? It wasn't necessarily the customer that first came up with that idea. Maybe it was even the bank thinking about the convenience from their perspective. Or just in general, the industry and the world
early on talking about paperless. The word paperless came out with my generation when I was first in college, right at the end of my high school going into college. Before then, our parents and foreparents didn't challenge all of the paper. It wasn't until the landfills started being identified that we were causing a potential crisis, not only for my generation, but for the generations to come, did people talk about paperless. And I remember doing reports about the future of paperless. And it sounded a little bit ridiculous, especially to the older generation. But lo and behold, as I talk about writing checks and having checkbooks and check ledgers and those types of things, some of the people listening have no idea what I'm talking about because they don't exist. They've never had to use one. They were long gone. And those disappeared not in a matter of centuries, but in 4 to 5 years, the younger generation had completely embraced paperless. That you had ATM cards and you went to ATM machines. Now, the next generation, they're even used to those cards being this virtual component of their cell phones. So you take your phone and you use it to tap a machine. So evolution, it happens fast. And it just takes one person to have a crazy idea. The crazier the idea, the more people who scoff at you, look at you crazy, roll their eyes, then you know you're on to something. And that's okay. The fact that if you Google, and a lot of people are already doing it, let's say you decide you want to open up a chicken restaurant featuring chicken sandwiches. Clearly, there's plenty of chicken sandwiches and an opportunity for chicken sandwiches everywhere you look. I'm sure the same crossed people's mind when this company called Chick-fil-A decided that they were going to focus on the chicken sandwich only, that their feature, it's so prominent, it's in the name, they're going to focus on the chicken sandwich. Well, you can get, there was Kentucky Fried Chicken, there was Church's Chicken, there was Popeye Chicken, clearly, who had a focus on chicken in all of its forms. You could go through McDonald's, and why one person wanted hamburgers, the other one could get a chicken sandwich. Chicken sandwiches everywhere. And yet, one company dared to base a whole establishment around a chicken sandwich. Now, how many years later? And they haven't really deviated from their focus. While other companies are just keep adding to their menu and keep diversifying, they've stayed solid with that Chick-fil-A sandwich and the nuggets and the form of it for breakfast. And they perfected it. And so some business ideas, they need to be nuts. They need to be off kilter. They need to make you nervous. But that's the differentiator. That means you're really getting, you're really venturing out there and pushing the envelope. Anything you create, as far as your business plan, you've probably heard, think about 5 years in advance. But think about how to take that five-year vision of what it could be and bring it to people now. Innovation is fast-forwarding people into the future. And it takes some experimentation. It takes some trial and error. And your first group of customers have to be the type of people that are willing to take that journey with you, willing to take that chances, are innovative in their own right. And what that means is, again, knowing your customer. If your customer likes to play it safe, prime example is someone going out there starting a business. And I remember this, especially in the early days of people creating online stores. If your particular target market was an older group of people, they were resistant to paying online, putting your credit card information online. They didn't trust it. So still having a means of cash and carry for them because of their safety zone. So if it's important, for example, to your business, even today, that you have online customers, you have to adjust who your target market is. And sometimes our target market starts out as friends and family, and the reality is they are not your target market. They patronize you and support you, and that's great. And they may provide that those initial sales, but in fact, they may not be your target market. And one time I remember talking to a customer, a company, and I was giving them feedback, and they told me I wasn't their target market. My age demographics was not their target market. And I have to be honest, I was first offended, and then second, I respected that they at least knew who their target market is. Well, lo and behold, it didn't quite work out the way they had planned. So maybe they wish they had had my group as the target market. Because the other half is that sometimes I've heard people talk through their business plan, and the people that they call out as their target market are not the people that have the disposable income or money to buy what you're selling. They may like it. They may give you accolades and tell you how cute it is and how wonderful it is and get you all amped up. But they aren't the buying market. Make sure you know, again, back to knowing your customer, your target market. What group of people have the money to pay the price point that you're putting out there? It may not be young people. It may not be college students or high school students. It may not be new parents. It may not be someone in their 20s that's just starting their career. Although that's who you might even fall in that demographics. Your own demographics may not be your target market. So once you know who that is, once you know what their shopping and buying habits are, then think about where they are now and what convenience, what form of delivery or presentation or packaging you can create that differentiates them and will get them to come to you. Now, take that little tip to the bank and hope you find a wealth of ideas as you brainstorm and challenge yourself. And I wish you continued success. Thanks for listening. This is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. Bye for now.